Jaya Radha Madho Va Kunyabihari. Jaya Radha Madho Va Kunyabihari. Nopi nana madaba iti badadhaude. Nopi nana madaba iti badadhaude. Yasura Nandana Prajajana Ranjauda Yasura Nandana Prajajana Ranjauda Jamuna Tera Vanachauti Yamuna Tera Manachyate Jai Hurad Umadava Kunjabi Hati Joy Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari. Gopi Nana Balaba Idivarudhavati. Gopi Nana Balaba Hiri Badadhavati Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirabhanat Chalti Yamuna Tirabhanat Chalti Jai Hurad Umadava Kunjabihari Joyurad Madhuva Kunjabihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravidagacharya Also Tada Sutashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanana Bhaktivedanta Gosami Maharashila Prabhupad Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindakijai Namacharya Shidohidas Thakur Kajai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Brahma Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavaram Kijai Maturanam Kijai Jagadatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Go. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 35. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarva Svamam Jalada Hitva Vireju Shubhra Varchasaha Yata Achaktaishanaha Shanta Muniho Mukta Kilvishaha Sarvaswam Jalada Hitva Vireju Shubhra Varchasaha Yata Chakta Yata Takta Chaktai Shana Shanta Muniyo Mukta Kilbishaha Sarvaswam Jalada Hit Vireju Shubhra Varchasaha Yata Tyaktai Shada Shanta Muniya Omukta Kilvishaha Sarvasvam Jalada Hitva Vireju Shubhra Ravarchasaha Yata Tyaktai Shadhashanta Muniyo Mukta Kilbishaha. Okay. Very good. Ready? Sarvaswam, everything they possess. Jaladaha, the clouds. Hitva, having given up. Virejuhu, shown forth. Shubra, pure. Varchasaha, their effulgence. Yata, just as. Jakta eshanaha, who have given up all desires. Shantaha, pacified. Muniaha, sages. Muktakil bishaha, freed from evil propensities. So, translation. The clouds, having given up all they possessed, shone forth with purified effulgence, just like peaceful sages who have given up all material desires and are thus free of all sinful propensities. You can repeat. The clouds, having given up all they possessed, shone forth with purified effulgence, just like peaceful sages who have given up all material desires and are thus free of all sinful propensities. So purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, the Prabhupada, when the clouds are filled with water, they are dark and cover the sun's rays, just as the material mind of an impure man covers the soul shining within. But when the clouds pour down their rain, they become white and then brilliantly reflect the shining sun, just as a man who gives up all material desires and sinful propensities becomes purified and then brilliantly reflects his own soul and the supreme soul within. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, the munis, muni means thoughtful person, who give up desires for sons, wealth, and followers, tyaktayasanaha, develop a pure heart. Similarly, the clouds, expelling all their rain, assume a pure white color. This is a positive analogy. And Jiva Goswami says, they are free of sin because they have given up karmas, which cause samsara, repeated birth and death. Because of this, they are free of desires. And because they are free of desires, they are peaceful with undisturbed minds. And finally, Sanatana Goswami comments, because they give up all desires, they are free of attachment. Shantaha, they are free of dry jnana, which is like a sin since it creates an obstacle to bhakti. Another version has kalma saha, with the same meaning, the clouds shine more than before, virejahu, as if they were pure light. So again, the verse. Sarvatstvam jaladahitva virheju shupra varchasaha yata tyaktai shanta shanta munya mukta kil bishaha. So, Omagada timiranda shagaranjana shalakya chakshur meditam yena tasbai shri guruve namaha Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'm also going to read Srila Prabhupada's translation and comment on this particular verse in the light of the Bhagavat. So, pretty similar. The beautiful white clouds, freed from all burdens of water distribution, float in midair like mendicants freed from all family responsibilities. Joy. So, Prabhupada here explains in his purport, as long as one is attached to the so-called responsibilities of family burdens, he is always full of cares and anxieties about meeting his family expenses. The four orders of social life, as designed in the Varnashram system, are very scientific and cooperative. In student life, one is taught the primary principles of the human form of life. One who enters the householder's life can execute the duties of a family man because he has already been trained for this job in the Brahmacharya ashram. And after 50 years of age, the householder retires from family life and prepares for the life of sannyas. Unless he has to send his kids to college and maintain his kids' families and grandchildren, then no renunciation. Anyway, The householder is duty-bound to maintain the members of all three of the other ashrams, namely the brahmacharis, the vanaprasas, and sannyasis. In this way, every member of society was given a chance to retire for a higher order of spiritual culture, and the householders neglected no one. The brahmacharis, vanaprasas, and sannyasis all curtailed their necessities to the minimum, and therefore no one would begrudge maintaining them in the bare necessities of life. I'm going to explain in a second what the Bhagavatam describes as the bare necessities of life, which in many cases the details are not practical in Kali Yuga. So anyway, in Kali Yuga, however, the entire system has gone topsy-turvy. The student lives in luxury at the expense of the father or the father-in-law, and I may add spiritual master. When the educated and indulgent student becomes a householder by the strength of university degrees, he requires money by all means for all kinds of bodily comfort, and therefore he cannot spare even a penny for the so-called vanaprasas and sannyasis. The vanaprasas and sannyasis nowadays are those who are unsuccessful in family life. That reminds me when Prabhupada was talking to one of my godbrothers, who was a sannyasi, and Prabhupada was telling the story of Sakshi Gopal. For those of you who don't know the story of Sakshi Gopal, Sakshi Gopal is a deity, or he was in Vrindavan, and there was an older Brahmin and a younger Brahmin who were basically seeing this deity. And the younger Brahmin was taking care of the older Brahmin. They weren't related in any way, and the younger Brahmin was from a lower caste, a lower Brahmin caste, than the older Brahmin was from a higher Brahmin caste. So the older Brahmin was so pleased with the younger Brahmin, he said, "I'm going to reward you." And his reward was that he offered his daughter in marriage to the younger Brahmin. And the younger Brahmin was thinking, this is not going to work because everybody is so caste conscious that nobody's going to agree to this particular marriage, especially the older Brahmin's family. So, therefore, the younger Brahmin made the older Brahmin promise in front of this deity. And the deity ultimately was called Sakshi Gopal, which means witness Gopal. And so then the younger Brahmin said, "I'm going to hold you to making sure," to the deity, he said, "I'm going to hold you to making sure that this promise is kept." So anyway, so long to make a long story short, they go back to Orissa. Actually, they're living in Orissa, place close to Jagannath Puri, actually. There's actually a village called Sakshi Gopal. You can go there now. So they go there, and the younger Brahmin finally comes to the older Brahmin's house and says, but it's time to keep your promise, and where's my wife? And the older Brahmin is freaked out because he knows his wife is going to commit suicide. That happens sometimes. His son is going to just like freak out, and he doesn't know what to do. And his son says, "Just tell the younger Brahmin you don't remember what the promise was." And then finally, the older Brahmin's son, he says that actually, this younger Brahmin gave my father's dutura some sort of poison. And so he made him promise when he was under the influence of poison. And the younger Brahmin thinks, well, I have to marry this girl. Not because he's so interested in the girl. He's not that lusty. But he says, I have to marry this girl because if the younger Brahmin's promise is not kept, his religious principles will be defiled. So he thinks the only way to deal with this, and he gets the approval of the older Brahmana's son, because he says to the older Brahmana's son, "Hey, if I can have the deity witness the marriage promise, will you agree?" And the younger Brahmin's, the older Brahmin's son thinks, you know, this is not going to happen. Of course I agree. The deity's not going to witness anything because the deity's just made of stone. So anyway, so then I'm telling the story for a purpose. And so then the younger Brahmin goes all the way across India again, and he says to the deity, "You witnessed this promise, so you have to do something about it." And the deity says, "You know, what can I do?" Krishna says, what can I do? Just remember me, basically, and everything will be all right. And then the younger Brahmin says to the deity, no, that's not going to work. You have to come with me and witness this marriage promise. And the deity says, you know, how is that possible? Whoever heard of a deity walking? And then the younger Brahmin said, that's true, but whoever heard of the deity talking? So if you can talk, you can walk. In this way, he defeated the deity. So pure devotees can defeat the deity. Obviously, if you can talk to the deity and you can hear what he's saying, you're a pure devotee at that particular point. So anyway, the deity walks all the way across India, and finally the younger Brahmin looks back. The deity is situated, stays in a place which is today called Sakshi Gopal. And then what happens is they call for everybody, and the deity says, yes, it's a fact that this younger Brahmin was promised to the older Brahmin's daughter, and they live happily ever after, or whatever. You don't hear more of the story after that. But in any case, Prabhupada told the story. The reason I'm telling the story is Prabhupada told the story, and this one of my godbrothers, I won't mention his name, he's actually a good friend of mine. Actually, I'll mention his name, Panchadravida Swami. Panchadravida Swami said to Prabhupada, if this younger Brahmin was so pure and a pure devotee, why did he get married? You know, why did he get entangled like that? And Prabhupada looked at Panchadravida Swami and he said, because no one would have you, you're talking like that. So sometimes people take sannyas because no one will have them, or people will take sannyas because they're, what is that statement by Chanaka Pandit? Aranya tena gantavyam yata aranyam yata graham. That if you're a priyavadana, if your wife speaks apriya, not so pleasing to you, vadana means like speech, apriya means not priya. Or, you know, sometimes the wife is called priya, which means dear, and sometimes she's called apriya, which means not dear. And the speech, if it's not dear, then Chanaka Pandit says, head for the hills. And that's just out of frustration. That sort of renunciation, according to Krishna in the Gita, is renunciation in the mode of passion, because something's difficult. One doesn't do his duty because it's difficult. Anyway, so we don't follow Chanaka Pandit in all instances, because Prabhupada said that Chanaka Pandit was not a pure devotee. He's giving some instructions for human society. So sometimes you find devotees take these quotes from Chanaka Pandit out of context, like Chanaka Pandit says, you know, several things get better by beating. You know, your dog, your mridanga, and anyway, not going to mention, because I'll get, even quoting him, I'll get in trouble. And, you know, it's, you know, these things are like, many times this Niti Shastra is good for us, and many times it's not good for us. Anyway, so the point is that people take sannyas because they just couldn't make it in family life. They couldn't make a living. Thus, the so-called sannyasis try to construct another home in the name of the sannyas ashram and glide down into all sorts of luxury at the expense of others. So all these varnas and ashrams have now become so many transcendental frauds. It's a very heavy statement by Prabhupada. But that does not mean that there's no reality in them. One should not conclude that there is no good money simply because one has met with counterfeit coins. The sannyas ashram is meant for complete freedom from all anxieties. How come it hasn't worked for me? Anyway, I'll explain why. And it is meant for uplifting the fallen souls who are merged in materialism. But unless the sannyasi is freed from all cares and anxiety, like a white cloud, when is it coming? It is difficult for him to do anything good for society. It's a heavy statement, isn't it? So, okay. Before I unpack these final statements of Srila Prabhupada, I want to talk about how one can be successful in executing the different duties in the social orders. So, Social orders, of course. Spiritual orders, actually, the spiritual orders, because here we're talking about spiritual orders. There's brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. And social orders are like Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Okay. So how can one be successful in these different orders of life or different duties at different times of life, you know, household life, vanaprastha life, sannyas life, and brahmachari life? Well, everything starts with brahmachari life. Because brahmachari life is basic training. Just like, how can you be a successful soldier? Like we have a nice devotee here, not in the temple room right now, who is actually a soldier. He is in the Marines. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. Arjuna, yeah. So he's in the Marines. And so he's a really good soldier. Of course, now he's doing private work. But in any case, he's a good soldier because he went through what's called basic training. So the brahmachari life is meant for basic training. And in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj, when he's describing these different ashrams, you know, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, starts with brahmachari life, and the first verse in the 12th chapter of the 7th canto is really important in this regard. And actually, I could pull it out. Although I haven't memorized, I actually want to read from that verse directly from the Bhagavatam. Brahmachari gurukule vasandanta gororitam archayandasmanicho gorau sudhrita sodhita. I want to read Prabhupada's translation. And Prabhupada didn't purport this verse, but it's a very important verse that Prabhupada would often quote. Because when one is trained up nicely, one can become a good grahastha, a good vanaprastha, and a good sannyasi. So what is that training? A student, Narada Muni said, a student should practice completely controlling his senses. It takes practice. We talked about that yesterday. Someone asked a question online, and they were asking, you know, even though I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm taking up Krishna consciousness, and I'm not supposed to have, I'm just paraphrasing what he said, I'm not supposed to have parabdha karma, aparabdha karma, kuta, bija, and all that other nice stuff that's described in the Nectar Devotion, beginning of Nectar Devotion. He said, why am I still feeling these pushings and pullings? And I described to him, that's because you have a body. That goes with the material body. There's going to be pushings and pullings, which are described in the Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udurapashta Vegam. That goes with the material body. I mean, it's just like, as they say, it's just hormones, Prabhu. You know, you got hormones. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes people are influenced by their hormones at different phases of the moon. It's the full moon now. And we generally experience it's a time when the temple president has to do so many austerities when you're getting close to the full moon. Because dealing with the residents of the, anyway, ashram. So it's just like, oh my God, it's the full moon. You know, that's, it's not for nothing that they have stories about werewolves. Because actually, and actually, crazy people are sometimes called what? Lunatics. Yeah. So, you know, the moon affects us. Actually, the moon affects everybody's mind. It's not just everybody's, particular individuals. Everybody's mind becomes affected by the moon because it's a presiding deity of the mind. Anyway. And actually, it's practical because of the gravity. The moon's gravity actually controls so many things like the tides and things like that. So it's a fact. So that's the pushing. It happens naturally. The pushings of anger, tongue, the belly, anger, mind, and words. And I'm not going to give a class on that particular verse. So one has to practice what? Tolerating. It's not that these things go away. As long as you have a material body, you know, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam. They're going to keep pushing you. And you better just tolerate them. And actually, that's what the verse says. If one can tolerate these pushings, then one can become a bona fide preacher of Krishna consciousness. Because these things will occur. And if you can't tolerate it, you can't preach Krishna consciousness. We're not talking about just becoming a guru in the sense of initiating, but guru in the sense of instructing others. Because people will see by example and will not take Krishna consciousness seriously. Like Prabhupada would often say, what? Example is more important than precept. So if you see someone's example, you know, someone's preaching, you're not the body, you should become detached, and then the person smokes cigarettes or something like that. I mean, there are certain pushings you can't avoid, like, you know, if you have a stomach ache or you have to throw up, I mean, you can't. It's not my fault for not being able to control certain bodily functions. You know, you can't control all the bodily functions. You know, you get nauseous, you get sick, you get fever, you know, diarrhea or something like that. It's not that, that's not a spiritual deficiency. But things you can control. You can control your anger. You can control your mind. So this is the first thing. A student should practice completely controlling his senses. In other words, that's brahmachari life. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. Of course, firm friendship doesn't mean, buddy, hey, Guru Maharaj, how you doing today? You know, give me your feet. So, you know, so understand that a spiritual master is one's friend, just like Krishna says in the fifth chapter, text 39 of the Bhagavad Gita, 29. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshram suradam sarva deinam yatvamam shantim richati. One can be peaceful by understanding the Lord is what? One's friend. He's a well-wisher of all living entities. Sarva lokamaheshram suradam sarva bhutam. He's your well-wisher. Yatvamam shantim richati. So the brahmachari, anyway, and there's more here. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at the Gurukula only for the benefit of the guru. Gurukula doesn't mean school. It actually means the place of the guru. So let me go over the word-by-word synonyms here because it's really interesting. Brahmachari Gurukula, the first line after Narada Muni Uvacha, means the brahmachari should live, or brahmacharini. Actually, Prabhupada said brahmacharini too. Should live at the place of the spiritual master, and even sometimes they can make their home the place of the spiritual master. And then vasan danta. By living, danta means taming the senses. Because the senses, actually right now, most of us, especially with children, are untamed, right? Danta gopir vishatam tamishram purnak purnas char vitachar vidanam. What happens when you have untamed senses? It's described by Pallad Maharaj also. Punak punas charva to charva nam. Then you keep chewing the chewed. You keep doing the same thing, as Albert Einstein said, definition of insanity, thinking you can do the same thing and get a different result. So you keep chewing the chewed and think, you know, heaven hasn't made me happy yet. And that's what happens. Anyway, so you learn how to tame the senses. Taming them means tolerating them and don't acting on their pushing. You act on the intelligence, knowing what the spiritual master has said and directed because Krishna is speaking through the guru. All right, so next thing. Vasandanda Guror Hitam means working for the benefit of the guru. I mean, the guru, first of all, you have to ascertain if the guru is bona fide. If the guru is just engaging you in his own sense gratification so he can eat mountains of quinoa, then quinoa pakoras. Anyway, then It's not bona fide. So a guru has to be bona fide. What is it? Samit Pani Shrochiam Brahmanishtam. He has to be a servant of his guru. Samit Pani Shrochiam, have heard nicely from his guru and repeating. And Brahmanishtam, always be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then Archaran, that means good behavior. Dasavan, he has to learn that he is a servant. And then Nityo, actually Dasavan, Prabhupada translates here, is very humbly like a slave. I mean, I've imbibed that regard to Srila Prabhupada. Nishchaha, submissive, obedient, sounds like a cult. Anyway, no, it's not blind faith or blind obedience. You know, that would be crazy. You know, one has a right to talk, and also if he's asked to do something that's crazy, then the understanding of the spiritual master is not bona fide, and he has a right to reject. That's so submissive of being unto the spiritual master, sudradha, firmly, and sodradha, in friendship or goodwill. So I'm just going to tell a story or two about some from the Mahabharata about the training that some devotees had. And this is a famous story I've mentioned before. Some of you have not heard the story. So once upon a time, oh my God, we don't have much time. So anyway, so once upon a time, there was a disciple of a guru, and this disciple, the guru was worried about him because the disciple was challenged horizontally. That's politically correct language. He was overweight. It's horizontal. You know, I'm trying to be kind and politically correct. So the disciple was challenged horizontally. So the guru really wanted to teach the disciple control his tongue, you know, which is bona fide duty of the guru. So he said to the disciple, you go out and take care of the cows. He thought, you know, the disciple will get some exercise in this way. So the disciple went and took care of the cows. And the disciple kept gaining weight. And the guru said, why are you gaining weight? And the disciple said, basically, as I'm taking care of the cows, I'm also begging things from people. And, you know, get a lot of nice things, you know, pizzas and everything, and I'm enjoying life. And the guru said, no, that's not the proper procedure. Everything you get as a brahmachari should be offered to the guru first. Okay. So then the disciple continues, and he still has the same problem. And the guru says, what are you doing now? And the disciple says, I am begging and giving you everything, Guru Maharaj, but I'm begging a second time for myself. And the guru says, every time you should give to me. And the disciple says, yes, Guru Maharaj. And so then after that, the same problem is still there, and the Guru Maharaj observes it. And he says to the disciple, what are you doing now? He said, well, I'm milking the cows, so I get some too. And I'm making pizza and lasagna and everything from the back. I'm adding a few things to it. So the Guru Maharaj says, what? Cow's milk is for the calves, not for you, rascal. And so he says, yes, Guru Maharaj. And so then he keeps doing it, and he still has the same problem. And then the Guru Maharaj says, what are you doing now? He says, well, the calves are drinking the cow's milk, and I notice that there's some foam coming out as the calves are drinking, so I'm sucking on the foam. And the Guru says, no! The calves are leaving it over for you, but don't do that. He said, yes, Guru Maharaj. So at that point, the poor guy gets so hungry. He's out there in the pasture. And he starts eating just leaves from any tree that he sees. And some of the leaves are poison. He becomes blinded and falls into a ditch. So the guru becomes very upset, you know, and starts looking for the disciple. Where are you? And sends some disciples out to look. And he finds this poor guy in a ditch. And the guru says to him, instead of taking him out of the ditch, you know, strange guru, he says, just pray to the Ashwini Kumaras, who are doctors, heavenly doctors, and they'll help you. So the Ashwini Kumaras come from the heavenly planets, and they say to this disciple who's still there in the ditch, we'll give you this cake to eat, and by eating this cake, you can actually become free from your blindness. And the disciple says, I'm not going to eat anything without my guru's permission. He passes the test. So he passes the test, and the guru blesses him. He gets his sight back. And then the guru says, you can get married now. So you may think, you know, why is he saying you should get married after this whole test? Because at this point he becomes a good grahasta. Because a good grahasta is one who can control his senses. And actually, even in grahasta life, there's still the relationship with the guru. That's still there. And, you know, it's not that he says, bye-bye, Guru Maharaj, now I'm enjoying life, now that I graduated from university. From the school of hard knocks, as they say. Oh, my God. No, it's not. We still got one more minute. So he becomes a good grahasta, and he's able to control his senses and perform his duty to the rest of society, supplying society with all of its means. The grahasta is considered the stomach of the social body. You understand? And then, later on, he's able to become a vanaprastha, remains with his family, and able to worship the Supreme Personality of God. I mentioned that we don't follow all the injunctions about vanaprastha that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, the vanaprastha is not supposed to cook anything. He's just, the only grains he's supposed to eat are grains that come from the fire sacrifice. He's not supposed to shave any of his hair, including the head, the mustache, the beard. I'm sure he looks really nice after that. He's not supposed to cut his nails. We don't follow those particular injunctions. One has to know which injunctions to follow. And a sannyasi, of course, then he can take sannyasi and hopefully be freed from all anxieties. But if he joins the Hare Krishna movement and takes sannyas, then he has to take responsibility even when he's 71 years old. It's my birthday anyway. And continue with anxieties and still be the cloud that's covering the sun. Not really. He has to learn the art of being transparent and at the same time being full of anxieties. And Prabhupada actually said one time when he was asked by Tamal Krishnamurti, Tamal Krishnamurti said, I'm having trouble concentrating because I have so many anxieties. Prabhupada said, me too. So this is a higher principle than being free of anxieties, is to actually take on anxieties for Krishna. And actually in the Nectar of Instruction, it says one who is actually on the higher platform of devotional service is always thinking on how to spread the Krishna conscious movement, which means being filled with anxiety sometimes. On that happy note, that's a happy note.
All glories to Divine Krishna Prabhupada. So we should seek to be free of anxieties, whether we're temple president, whether we're sannyasis, that's not our business. Our business is to take anxieties for Krishna, like the gopis are in anxiety all the time. Even when Krishna goes to the forest, he doesn't wear shoes, and the gopis are in anxiety about the shoes. So anxiety is actually going to be
Amen. sadhu, dwarani namasya,
Hare Krishna, Hare Shall be
Amen.